Well, hello, my friends, and welcome once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day today, as always. And the eyesight was the last day as far as product of the week today. It'll be changing over. You guys voted and it won for the sublingual B12. This is actually a really, really, really strong B12 formula. It's bioactive. This hasn't been on sale in a really long time, actually.
I don't think I've ever seen it on sale.
Yeah, it generally wasn't. But you guys voted and it won. So I'll be throwing that up here later on this afternoon. So be sure to check it out. And also, too, be sure to be checking out the collagen formula we have in and also the Fit Food Stack we're going to be putting together with both of those. It's pretty much the ultimate post-workout recovery with the collagen and the Fit Food. I'll be doing a kit on that later this week with Michael. So,
well, yeah. I'm doing the Fit Food and a Purple Stick.
Yeah, I know. I was going to make one. I may make one in a minute here. That's the morning stack.
We got a bunch of weird stuff going on right now. You know, Venezuela just mobilized a bunch of militiamen. 4,000 troops, and they said over 4 million militiamen. And they're talking about what to know about the U.S.-Venezuela standoff, which ties in directly with what you talked about, the Marines being basically deployed into the
Caribbean. More than likely. I figure that may be some type of show of force. But, I mean, I hate to be, you know, the bearer of bad news of Venezuela. That's going to go nowhere.
But let's talk about this for a second. You know, Venezuela has the largest oil reserves in the world.
That is true.
And, you know, they don't really have a huge drug influx coming out of that country. It's just
I don't think so. It's just not there.
Mid-transport. And the Venezuela people, the ones that I've met, are extremely articulate, extremely well-educated, and extremely very upset because of what's happened, because the International Monetary Fund and the group of, you know, basically Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan bankers around the world have cut off their ability to process their oil. And so it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And so they've been basically living in poverty in that country now for about 10 or 15 years.
They have some serious financial problems.
Well, because they don't have access to funds.
Right.
You know, so in other words, they have no cash flow. Yeah. So when you don't have cash flow, you can't pay the refineries, you can't pay the workers, you can't pay the engineers, pay anything. So now all of a sudden they're talking about, you know, America mobilizing there, and they're thinking there's a full-scale invasion coming up by the United States coming into Venezuela. The U.S. and Venezuela appear to be heading towards a standoff, with neither country indicating a willingness to back down. The Venezuelan government on Monday mobilized more than 4 million militia troops, seemingly in response to reports of U.S. naval movements in the region. We defend our seas, our skies, and our lands. We liberated them. We guard and patrol them. No empire will touch the sacred soil of Venezuela, nor should it touch the sacred soil of South America, Venezuela President Nicolas Maduro said in a televised address on Monday. 3 U.S. Navy missile destroyers have been deployed to the waters off of Venezuela, which is interesting.
Yeah.
President Trump has been very clear and consistent. He's prepared to use every element of American power to stop drugs from flooding into our country. You know, and basically
it's interesting.
Trump. There's something else going on here.
Well, especially the 22nd Marine Expeditionary Unit is what I went into detail yesterday. Suddenly, these guys are floating around the water for the drug cartels.
Off the coast of Venezuela.
Right.
Well, that's a good excuse, isn't it?
That's a perfect excuse.
You know, Washington and Caracas broke off formal bilateral diplomatic relations in 2019 during Trump's first term after Trump backed opposition against Juan Yato in Latin America's country presidential election. The U.S. government has not recognized Maduro the last two electoral victories. And the Trump administration replete called Maduro's presidency illegitimate, including that, saying that as soon, a couple days ago on Tuesday, he said this too.
Okay,
yesterday. I know it very well, and Venezuela is right now being run by a dictator, Trump said in August last year, as he blamed the country for the flow of criminals and drugs into the U.S. and campaigned to crack down on it. We're starting to see this now.
This starts to sound a lot like we got to go into Venezuela to liberate them and promote democracy.
You're going to take over their oil fields.
We did that in Iraq.
Yeah. Democratic former Presidents Barack Obama and Joe Biden also opposed the Maduro government, which has suggested jailing its opposition and has deported American journalists. Well, duh. They don't tell a bunch of lies. I'd deport American journalists, too. They're all CIA. Not all. Many. During Trump's first term, the U.S. imposed financial sanctions on Venezuela in 2017, 2018, 2019. In 2020, Maduro was indicted in the New York federal court on charges of narco-terrorism, conspiracy to import cocaine, and other charges, and the tensions between Trump and Venezuela leader have only escalated during Trump's second term. Wow, earlier this month, the Trump administration doubled the reward to $50 million for information leading to Maduro's arrest. Okay, this is starting to sound out to me like, you know, they're looking for an excuse to go in and overthrow Venezuela.
Yeah. We got to throw out Saddam Hussein because he's got weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, and now they're
now
they just mobilized 4,500 Marines.
Yeah,
you know, off the coast of Venezuela now, apparently.
Well, and it's a full amphibious expeditionary unit. Yeah. They do everything as far as air, land, water. So I don't know. So, something to watch. We'll have to keep an eye on.
Trump has pushed to use the U.S. military to scuttle cartels. In February, he designated Venezuela, Tren de Aragua, as well as six groups in Mexico and MS-13 in El Salvador as foreign terrorist organizations.
Now, they do have some pretty nasty cartels.
They
far
do.
As in, stuff down there.
The president signed a directive to the Pentagon to use military force against these cartels, which is directly looking at Venezuela. Trump has also targeted Venezuelans on immigration issues, revoking the protected status of hundreds of thousands of Venezuelan immigrants in the U.S. and deporting 238 Venezuelans in March to an El Salvadorian prison. I didn't know they were Venezuelans, Austin, as part of a mass deportation campaign claiming to target alleged gang members. U.S. courts have ordered the return of several of those who were wrongfully deported, while many other deportees reject the allegations against them. Trump sends missile destroyers to Venezuela waters. On Monday, the U.S. government ordered three U.S. Navy missile destroyers, the USS Gravely, the Durham, and the Sampson, and around 4,500 military personnel to the edge of Venezuela's territorial waters, according to Reuters. Well, this wasn't even disclosed on that
show
yesterday.
This wasn't disclosed of anything yet.
And it says Venezuela has now mobilized millions of militia fighters. It says Maduro's plan will involve mobilizing peasant and worker militias in all factories and workplaces. Get the pitchforks, right? The Venezuelan government also temporarily banned the purchase, sale, and operation of drones in Venezuela airspace on Tuesday. This thing is really escalating in Venezuela. So now we're starting to see if the international banking cartels want the country with the largest oil reserves in the world, guess what? They're going to get it.
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to say, we've got to stop the flow of fentanyl. We're doing this for the safety of everyone, and we're trying to liberate Venezuela from their drug cartel. That's the perfect, excuse.
This worked great in Egypt. Oh, yeah, it was great. Yeah, and, you know,
Libya, how they work in Libya, too.
Oh, yeah, Libya. Gaddafi, one of the best countries in Africa, and suddenly it's turned into a third world hellhole.
I've showed you guys the photos. You look when Gaddafi was in power in the 2000s, and you look at it now, and all the...
It's rubble.
It's horrible.
But no, and you know, and remember what they said. You remember what Gaddafi said. You take me out of power, you're going to open up the floodgates into Europe with these doggone Muslim gangs and immigrants coming in here. And that's exactly what happened. So, you know, when they do this, they do regime change, which we've done this like 60 times now. We've taken over. We've taken out people that are presidents of countries. And I understand this. He is not the supposedly leader of the country.
Right.
It's more of a dictatorship. But what's so is Zelensky?
I was about to say Zelensky suspended elections. What's the difference between him?
Yeah, and Zelensky, he won't settle. He doesn't want to stop this whole war over there in Ukraine.
He's making too much money, bro.
It's crazy, and it's sad to me, you know, that this is actually going on. And we really didn't cover this yesterday, but I wanted to talk about it today a little bit.
That's
like
good.
That. And now we have the Israeli minister deliberately withholding Gaza food aid for 2.5 months, and he's talking about doing it.
Oh yeah,
Israel Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich has admitted on TV that the Israel government deliberately withheld food and aid for 1.5 million people in Gaza for 2.5 months. He basically, in the video, he says, and this is in Hebrew, so I'm not sure exactly what he's saying. We conquer, we cleanse, and we slay. On the way, we annihilate everything that still remains. We're breaking Gaza apart, leaving it as a pile of rubble. Total unprecedented destruction. Now, of course, he's just talking about it, and we also learned that they conquer and cleanse. That's mean cleanse, that ethnic cleansing. You know, another war crime against humanity. He's actually bragging about it, about what he's doing. And so sometimes you've got to listen to what they say on their own TV shows, Austin, because we've seen this. Because remember the three Israelis that went over there and started bragging about, you know, dancing at the trade towers when they came down. They went on their TV shows, and then it became public knowledge that they were doing that. And all of a sudden it went on the world, and all of a sudden people start talking about it and rebroadcasting it. So it's a major, major, major problem when you start looking at these countries and just do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, including the United States of America. I love our country. It's the best country in the world. But doggone it all, this policing the world stuff, Austin, has gotten expensive, and we can't afford it. The United States is broke.
Oh, I know. And then speaking of policing and out of control, Washington State, now this is an interesting article, and this shows you how tyrannical some of these judges are that get appointed that are unbelievably liberal. The court now, the appeals court, is holding up the nearly $1 million fine against a restaurant that simply defied the COVID-19 pandemic mandates. This Washington State restaurant is basically, it was a Stuffy's 2 restaurant. state officials now fined the owners $936,000, $18,000 each day that its dining room was open while the state had mandated emergency order banning indoor dining in place. Now, what's crazy about this, they said they imposed the ban in late 2020 after there was a jump in hospitalizations. There was no contributed deaths or hospitalizations to this restaurant. Let me clarify that. As I looked this up, I was reading about it all yesterday. So what happened was these fines, they levied on almost $1 million. Well, of course, the owner of Stuffy's came back and said, we have to basically get this dropped. This is insane. COVID's over now. This has been in court for 5 years. You want $1 million? They want to steal $1 million from the restaurant because the restaurant didn't follow the demands like the tyrannical individuals in Washington stated. And so this went to appeals court, and they ruled against them. They said they have not demonstrated that it's unable to pay the fine, and the fine is excessive. $1 million for a restaurant. A lot of restaurants back then were already functioning on a very, very thin margin. And so you're coming in now saying the $1 million. While the fine case is excessive, they're saying that they have not been able to adequately provide, that they cannot pay the fines assessed to them. And essentially the judge ruled on it. And this is nuts to me. This is complete and total tyrannical behavior from a judge run amok. When you have stuff like this, and we saw stuff like this down here in other states, same thing with Ian's Fitness, where he had the gym up in New Jersey, where they're fining him every $10,000 a day. Your gym's open. He's like, okay, my gym's not open. People can just come in here for free. I'm not charging anything. The door's open. And they continue to fine them, continue to fine them. And what's crazy about this is when you go back and look at it, and this is somebody sent me this yesterday. It says, no vaccine for HIV after 40 years of research. Put that camera, four. No vaccine for cancer after more than 100 years of research. No vaccine for the common cold. Yet a virus mysteriously appears, and within 12 months, a vaccine is found by 4 pharma companies all within 1 week. But yeah, nothing was planned. And I thought to myself, you know, the whole thing's been a complete lie. Everything we were told about that was a lie. And now we're still having companies and restaurants in court being fined for simply having their doors open. Don't ever forget what they did to everybody, guys.
Well, you know, Russia now is confirming that the mRNA vaccines have triggered a global cancer surge.
I saw this.
You know, Russia is sounding the alarm after a chilling new review has confirmed the link between mass mRNA vaccine and a surge in global cancer cases and deaths. The groundbreaking study was led by a leading Russian researcher, you know, and professor of biology and biotechnology at the Ural State Medical University. The findings confirmed that the worldwide rollout of the COVID vaccine shots triggered an unexpected long-term safety risk, including skyrocketing rates of cancer, which are still rising dramatically because Simeon 40 was added to the vaccine. I'm just adding that. Their work, published in a Russian-language medical journal, draws on 4 years of global data. That's why they wanted that data purged, Austin.
Yep.
Okay. Rather than collecting new patient data, the study reviews government registries, published literature, and mechanistic studies with heavy emphasis on the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention statistics and adverse event reports. The researchers point to evidence suggesting a direct correlation between the mass mRNA vaccination campaigns and the rising deadly cancer rates. Among the most alarming findings are figures drawn from the vaccine adverse event reporting system. Between the late 2020 and August 2022, the authors highlighted 2,579 cancer-related adverse events.
They argue the ovarian cancer rates in particular appear to be have spiked post-vaccination.
Well, that's because that mRNA vaccine attacks ovaries and attacks testicles. I mean, it's really crazy. To change the topic here, Tulsi Gabbard continues a deep state purge by revoking another 37 more security clearances revoked, tied to officials with Russiagate. Tulsi, you know, I really wish that Elon Musk could have gotten into this.
I do too. He went ham.
This whole thing was a disaster. Tulsi Gabbard continued her purge of the deep state, revoking security clearances of 37 Obama-linked officials tied to the infamous Russiagate hoax. Remember, now it's the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. That's what they're calling it.
Yep.
Unbelievable. The move of the director of national intelligence was Trump's latest act of retribution against federal officials who worked under the Democrats. Gabbard accused the officials of having engaged in the politicalization and weaponizations of intelligence to advance partisan goals. Many of the officials who were signed out left the government years ago and served in a broad range of roles, including senior positions. In other words, a lot of these people, she basically revoked the clearance, have already been out of government work for years.
Yeah, so, I mean,
why do they still have clearance? It makes absolutely no sense to me. And Rob from Wisconsin, Christian News, wrote another really good article. He says it's insanity. He says, it turns out that we live in a totalitarian police state, and most people don't even realize it. They become so accustomed to the ever-expanding laws, rules, and regulations that big government has imposed on all of us. Today, there's virtually nothing we can do without being extorted by the government and obtaining their permission first, and of course, paying the associated fees. As one person put it, we're living in a tax farm as free-range humans. In other words, all they're doing is beginning more. This reminds me of the stupid 30-mile-an-hour speed limit
Yes, law. Yes, tax farm with free-range humans. Boy, is that a sobering statement.
No, it, because now if you drive, if you're doing 75 and a 45 on a dark road in the middle of the night, big wide two-lane here in Florida, they can arrest you, take your vehicle, impound you, and put you in jail for 30 days and charge you tens of thousands of dollars in fines.
Well, it's crazy you said that because I talked to one of my really good buddies yesterday who's a Polk County Sheriff officer. You know him. Mm-hmm. And he's been looking at getting a C8 Corvette. We talked about it. He's like, dude, you can get them really cheap right now. They're all discounted. I said, it's a great car. He was the problem, Austin. He goes, I'm Polk County Sheriff. He goes, I don't want to go to jail either. He goes, I like sports cars. He's like, I'm in a position where if FHP pulls me over and I'm off duty, they said, FHP says, it does not matter. He said the other day, FHP said, it does not matter if you're retired law enforcement, active law enforcement. If we catch you off duty, you going over 30 on the interstate, we're taking you to jail. Everybody goes to jail. FHP is on a straight up crusade right now.
Well, I told you, I told you guys, I got a ticket a couple months ago doing 91. I was doing 26 miles an hour with the speed limit, right?
Yeah.
And I was just on the interstate, just cruising. And everybody else is running around me like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, about same.
But then he picked me, and then he comes up to me, looks like a little leprechaun, head about that big around. He walks up to the door of the car, and he doesn't have to bend over. He's a little tiny guy. And he starts screaming at me. And I'm like, this is great. And I was trying to be really nice to him. I asked him what kind of gun he was carrying, what kind of ammo he was carrying. That just made him mad.
Mad.
Okay. And I told him, I said, finally, he said to me, do you have anything else you want to say to me after he gives me the ticket? Now, here's the thing. I have my insurance card, right? I'm looking for it in the console. He says, he gives me like 1 second to find it. I'm digging through the paperwork. And he comes back in 5 minutes later, gives me the ticket, and gives me a secondary ticket for not having an insurance card. And I have the insurance card to show it to him. He goes, too late. You didn't provide it when I asked for it.
That was out of line, honestly.
And I'm like, great. This is perfect. So I had to hire a ticket clinic to get, you know, out of all that mess. And I thought to myself, this is ludicrous. But remember, I was 26 miles an hour over the speed limit. I was going in the flow of traffic.
Right.
Had I been 4 miles an hour over that, I'm going to jail.
Well, and he said, and my buddy said this yesterday because he's with Polk County Sheriff's Department. He said the problem is Florida grant with Florida law enforcement basically is given enormous amount of incentives for how many arrests they can make under super speeder charges. And that is going to be based on how big of state grants they get for more equipment, more gear, more raises, more pay. They're financially incentivizing law enforcement to take everybody to jail if they can find
Governor DeSantis needs to get involved in this to stop this. But again, it's basically been passed by legislators, but none of us voting on it.
This wasn't a mandate.
No.
This is they passed this in the Florida Congress without ever bringing it up to anybody. No. Nobody even knew this was floating around.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, another article I found here. Let me cover this real quick.
Okay.
Vitamin B12, a new study, says can lower inflammation. Says vitamin B12 has been linked to significant reduced inflammation, highlighting its essential role in combating chronic diseases. Recent findings in the Journal of Science and Food and Ag have uncovered significant correlation between vitamin B12 deficiency and chronic inflammation, which can pave the way for heart disease, diabetes, and even certain brain disorders. They said using data from the PREDIMED trial, researchers focused on 136 participants with notable cardiovascular risk. The study uncovered a clear pattern. As vitamin B12 levels increases, inflammation markers such as IL-6 and CRP decline. I mean, the higher level of B12 you have in your body, the less inflammation you have in it. This is one of the reasons why the sublingual B12 that we have is such an effective formula, because it's sublingual, it's methylated, and it gets right in the bloodstream. The same thing with the Ultra Multiple Powder. I told you guys that one time, like 2 years ago, I went and got blood work done. I had fasted blood work. I ended up taking multiple powder like an hour before I went to get my blood work. My B12 levels were off the chart. My physician looked at it, he goes, dude, how did you get your B12 so high? I said, I took multiple powder before I came. He's like, gosh. He goes, your stuff works, doesn't it? I said, yeah, it works. I said, because people don't realize B vitamins are water soluble.
They go right to the
system. Got to keep them in your system on a regular basis.
You know, it's so funny. I had some friends come over the other day. Again, I gave away my container of multiple.
Did you?
They're always looking at it. Go, oh, that's great.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm always like, I feel kind of guilty. I'm like, Just take it with you.
Yeah.
You know, this stuff's expensive even for us to buy and make.
This is why it's so important. If somebody's having B12 deficiency, I'm telling you right now, the best option I've personally seen is the sub B12. The injections don't work that well.
They almost always come
out. Cyanide cobalamin. Yeah. And so what happens, you're stuck taking a shot every single week of injectable B12. You'll get a small spike in B12 levels, but it's cyanide cobalamin, so you only get a small conversion rate into the methylated form. And on top of that, you're poisoning your liver long term because the cyanide comes off.
Yeah, I talked to a doctor years ago, and I was talking about that because he used a cyanide. And
yeah.
He was trying to justify it. Of course, he ended up dying of pancreatic cancer. You know, so, yeah. So, you know, all of it, I'm not going to mention any names because I like the guy,
yeah.
But the crazy part about it is that you got to ask yourself a question, physician, heal thyself. You know, a lot of times these doctors have a lot of health problems, and I've seen it over and over and over again because they don't even practice what they preach. Another one that I knew, he basically was taking calcium supplements every single day and had massive heart attack. I looked at his doggone protocol, and I said, dude, you got to get off this calcium.
Yeah.
Everything he had was calcium carbonate in it. He had these cheap supplements.
Calcium carbonate.
Oh, yeah. And I told him, I said, no wonder he had a heart attack. But it was too late. A couple of years later, he had another heart attack, and he ended up dying. And the sad part about it all, he's 52 years old. And the crazy part about all of this stuff is just because they have MD after their name doesn't mean that they know a lot about health products. Now, there are some that do. Some of them are brilliant. But usually the osteopaths are better, and the chiropractors almost always are better than the MDs as far as stuff. But the reality is the MDs, because they get the MD behind their name, they think they know it all. They think they're the end-all, be-all. And they're not. They're not. Most of them got pushed through the school, but a lot of them through affirmative action. But I'm going to stop that.
To add on that, one last thing, though, and this is why it's so important to make sure you're getting quality supplements. This is why we produce the best stuff we can. Calcium carbonate, if you find a vitamin with calcium carbonate or cyanide cobalamin B12, the whole product, in my opinion, is trash. Because those are two most important products to keep in or out of your body. If you're going to use a calcium, like for females, use something like the Awesome Mag, which is MCHC calcium derived from bovine. Never use calcium carbonate. If the product has it in there, stay away from it. The same thing if you open up a can of like multiple capsules right here. Look on the back of it. Everything we break down in its base form, B12, methylcobalamin. If it's got cyanide cobalamin, I can guarantee you every single other ingredient in that product is compromised because that is one of the most simplistic, most effective ways to get your body up on B12 is methylcobalamin.
And the other thing, too, if you look at the folate or folic acid inside these products, almost in the biotin,
yeah.
they usually have very little amounts of either one of those.
That's right. And those are really needed.
Those are really, really needed. But Rob goes on to say in this article, he goes, a few examples of how the government's controlling everything is now you have to get permission to collect rainwater. Okay. You have to get permission to plant a garden, go fishing. You have to get permission on your own property to start a business or build a home or do any type of home improvement. You have to get permitting. Sometimes you have to have permission by the government to own a dog, drive a car, get married, own a weapon, go hunting, hold a rally, and even set up a lemonade stand. Am I right?
Would you put it like that, bro?
Well, no. I mean, I've got that little place up in North Carolina. We got deer everywhere. I can't just go shoot deer.
Well, you can.
You're going to get arrested.
It's not.
You have to have a hunting license.
Yeah, on your own property. Yeah. No,
you basically can't collect rainwater, you know? So they don't want you doing all that stuff. If you want to build a pond, you can't build a pond bigger than this without permission. And you're like, well, this is silly. It's my land. It's my property. It's whatever I want to do. No, it's not. And that's what's happened in the United States of America. It's crazy. You know, and for the fees, here are just a few: property taxes, sales tax, state and federal income tax, marriage license fees, local school taxes, vehicle registration fees, estate taxes, waste management fees, dog license fees, driver's license fees, gasoline taxes, gift taxes, social security taxes, unemployment taxes, fishing license taxes, highway and bridge tolls, hotel taxes, license plate fees, parking fees, self-employment taxes, sewer and water taxes, and tire taxes.
Well, my favorite one's always inheritance tax.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say how many times I've seen people that have tried to save up money and build wealth and have assets. I've heard about it, seen it, and all of a sudden they die, and they didn't set up everything properly with trust, and all of a sudden the family has to start liquidating assets and liquidating property for pennies on the dollar so they can pay the taxes on the stuff they already got. I've never understood that. You got property, you got cash that's already had taxes paid, already had income tax paid, already had state taxes paid. Then they die, we're taxing the money again and again and again and again. Remember this, the love of money is the root of all evil. You got to understand this concept for a second, why Jesus so bent on that. You have the you have the Son of God, right, comes to earth. God Almighty, right?
Yeah, he's
and
God
what, is, what does he say? Above all things, love. So he says, right? And yet, the moneylenders in the temple still managed to make him so mad, he took time to premeditate a whip and braid a whip to whip them out of the temple because he got so mad at them because they had unjust scales they were ripping
around.
That's
the only evidence we've ever seen of Jesus doing that.
And it was justified.
It was justified.
And it wasn't on a whim. He sat down and braided a whip. It says that clearly, meaning he didn't just lose it. He sat there and contemplated, probably had a conversation with God. He goes, I don't know what to do these guys.
It says, in your anger, sin not. So he did not sin.
Correct. So he sat there and he said, okay, we're good. We're good. I'm whipping these guys out. They still managed to make him that mad because of unjust scales. And
within a few weeks, they crucified him.
Because he touched the sacred cow of the cash lenders, the ones that love free air.
And then he called them out for being the children of Lucifer themselves.
Synagogue of Satan.
Yeah. No, he did. And
he
so
did.
You think,
he goes, your father is not, he goes, you're not Abraham's descendants. Your father is the devil. It says it very clear in John.
Well, no. And so he said he was basically the initial liar and the liar of all. And if you remember, Satan was in buying and selling. And I talked about this at Angel Wars in depth. And that's what caused him to fall was just the sheer greed and the avarice and the pride.
It wasn't enough. I mean, he was right up there. I mean, shoulder to shoulder with God Almighty. Still wasn't enough.
He was like one of the first guys in heaven.
Yeah,
he was. He said he would be like the chairman of the Joint Jesus staff now. You know, under
that
the
wasn't enough.
Wasn't enough.
He wanted to take it over.
Yeah,
had to. And he managed to convince
a third of creation fell with him.
He didn't have like, I got 4 or 5 guys behind me. Like, nah, dude, whatever that number was, the entire amount, a third of it, I guarantee he was pretty big.
They said that number of angels was innumerable. That's a lot of angels. And you know, a third of them went down with him.
But that shows you how much God hates manipulation of people and taking advantage of them in unjust scales and weights of what he did with the temple because they compromised the temple and were ripping everybody off. And yet we have here again, once again, the boys, the banker boys, the free air boys still love to tax everybody in perpetuity.
Well, you know, the Bible says that the God of this age, which is Lucifer, known what he was doing, he never would have crucified the Son of Glory.
I believe that.
Because he set up a scalar wave interface, basically with the blood of Jesus, that allows us to come back to the Father because it restores our DNA back to the Father because it allows us to go boldly before the throne of God through Jesus. And he never would have done that. I mean, can you imagine, Austin, he's sitting here, he's got to, because you know, he likes to gloat. You know, he's like, oh, I'm a gloating guy here. Guess what I've done? I've killed God.
Yeah.
This is great. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there, and 3 days later, Jesus says, you know, I decide I'm not going to be dead anymore.
Yeah. I'm not going to participate in this anymore.
And he goes, remember, this was clouded. He had no idea what was going on because he's not omnipresent. All of a sudden, Jesus pops back out of the tomb. He goes, ah, this is awful. What happened here? This is not right. And then he realizes it was the blood.
Yep.
That without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sins, and that Jesus now had an eternal sacrifice for all of us to come boldly back to the throne of God and to have the ability to go to heaven when we pass away. And I can't even imagine how angry he must have been when he saw that he had screwed up like that.
Well, you got to think, he finally clicked, and he's like, we shed the blood of the God of the universe.
The creator of the universe. Yeah, well, no, he really thought that he had done what he needed to do to take over the entire universe.
Yeah.
He had killed the Son of Glory. And all of a sudden he realized, he goes, wait a minute, this is not going like I thought it would.
It's not the way I thought it was going to be.
You know, and again, our battle is not against flesh and blood. So now we as Christians, we as followers of the Most High God, we as followers of Jesus, we have the ability to have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in us all the days of our life. So we're not of this world because this world is of Lucifer right now. But we are just passing through like that one movie I've mentioned so many times with Riddick, with Vin Diesel. He's in that prison. And he's, are you an inmate? Are you a convict? What are you? He goes, I'm nothing. I'm just passing through. And so I'm just going to be here for a little while. See, that's what we are as Christians. We're just here for a little while. By the way, Larry Fink, the one that everybody loves to hate. Just
for good
one
reason.
Oh, my gosh. You know, the free air is never enough for this boy.
No.
Just one day after BlackRock had Larry Fink took over the World Economic Forum, they announced a plan to ban all private car ownership and ban all single-family homes.
That's always been the goal.
But
now they're coming out. But
he's running his mouth. See, they always tell you later what they plan on doing. Because remember, their thing here with this white magic, this lesser magic that they have with the Kabbalah God that they serve, is they have to tell you what they're going to do to you before they do it. Otherwise, they feel as though the karma on the other side of the veil when they die is going to be unbelievably bad for them. So they got to let you know what they're going to do in advance. So he's saying to you, hey, look, you know, single family homes, you're not going to get that anymore. And here's the biggest problem. They don't want you to own real estate.
That's exactly right.
Because the vast majority of the people that become wealthy in the United States, they've done it with real estate and investments in real estate. And so these guys don't want to have that availability anymore because they want to. That's why you mentioned this earlier. They have a tiered income tax system. And then they have inheritance tax and everything else. It's all for the same reason, to keep you at a certain level where you can only get a certain amount of money, a certain amount of net worth, and a certain amount of notoriety, and a certain amount of influence with a certain amount of money. See, you can make up to maybe $40, $50 million if you're really, really good and you're really working hard and you're making good investments. They don't want that anymore.
No.
Now, when you start getting up to the Billionaire Boys Club,
somebody
gives you the nod.
Well, and that's the problem that they did with Elon Musk is they gave him the nod to be in that position. They did all that with Tesla because remember, the entire goal with the World Economic Forum of what they wanted to do with these electric vehicles is be able to control and monitor and prevent anybody from going somewhere that they don't want them to go. It was all about short-term transportation. It was all about preventing you from being able to travel cross-country and go out to, you know, Yosemite National Park in your F-250 7.3 diesel, the fuel cell in the back, go completely off the grid.
Getting 30 miles per gallon.
With a trailer on the back. They don't want that. They want you to be in your little electric car, going 150 miles, and then all of a sudden, well, you said something on Facebook we don't like. You're restricted to only 20% battery charging at the station now.
By the way, they can do that.
And they already drop it down to 60, 70, 80% based on basically time frame as far as when it's charging up. Well, they put Elon Musk in this position because they wanted to put these on the market. Well, then all of a sudden, he kind of goes, you know what? Is his big brain that he does with all his numbers. He goes, I think I'm going to start figuring out the government fraud. I'm just going to start finding everything. And all of a sudden, they go, whoa. You're not supposed to talk about this. Now we're going to audit Fort Knox. Whoa. You do not talk about that, boy. And all of a sudden, suddenly, he is wiped out of the picture. Stocks have fallen through the floor. They've made him the bad guy from everybody that supported him before now.
Now he's the most hated man in America.
And the whole Tesla industry is going through the floor. They already had bad resale. Now they're like, nobody will touch them. You can't even give them away anymore.
And, well, that dumpster fire pickup truck, I mean, what the heck was that?
Now they've cut all the grants. All the stuff he was getting, which I wasn't a big fan of those anyways. That was all World Economic Forum, though, grant money to keep that Tesla model system going, tied into the cloud, control the charging, control the driving. And now it's like...
Well, you think about it for a second. Think about it for a second for Larry Fink. I mean, I really dislike this guy.
Oh, gosh.
But he was the head of BlackRock. BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard are all interlocking, okay?
Yeah.
He was the head of BlackRock, and he left that position to go run the World Economic Forum because he knows he has more power with the World Economic Forum than he had with BlackRock.
I don't know. BlackRock's pretty heavy.
Well, no, because the World Economic Forum dictates what BlackRock's going to do.
That's true.
You know, with the DEI and all that DEI stuff came from World Economic Forum.
All him.
And so now he has the ability to not just control BlackRock, but now he can go ahead and dictate and put his edicts through every single person because of the World Economic Forum, what Klaus Schwab did. That, by the way, Klaus Schwab, why don't you look up the pictures of this guy walking on the shores of Lake Geneva wearing a wedding dress.
Don't look those up.
It's sickening. I mean, you can't even believe these guys are legit because they're so crazy. Oh, by the way, Home Depot is getting sued now for using facial recognition at the checkouts.
Woo!
Without permission.
Interesting.
Yeah, how about that? And another article says the AI data center wars have begun and that farms and water and electricity is being taken away from humans to power the machines.
Yep. That's happening.
What's happening right now? Well, these data centers are monstrous.
You know, if we could possibly had a movie made, I don't know, maybe in the 80s, that talked about AI going sentient and robotics and artificial intelligence taking over the world. If we only could have had a movie that warned us about
that. I would have called that movie Terminator.
I think I would have, too.
And I would have named that company Cyberdyne.
Gosh.
Unbelievable.
I mean, we didn't already watch the movie 40 years ago.
They've got to tell you what they're going to do, Austin.
True.
It's lesser and white magic.
Crazy. Think about it. When that movie came out in the 80s, right? AI and computer systems weren't even really a significant thing. I mean, they had some computers and all that. AI was a sci-fi. I mean, that was flim-flam fairy tale as far as actually doing what it did in that film. And now we're literally watching it be shaped and molded right in front of us, and they're wanting to do exactly what they did in that film. They're going, well, this will end up all right. It's kind of like when they come out pretty soon, they go, we're going to buy an island, and we're going to bring dinosaurs back, and we're going to put all these dinosaurs on this island. If only we could have seen a movie that had possibly predicted how horrible that was going to go, bringing T-Rexes back. But we, I don't know, we have no idea. That'll be next.
You
know,
they have the technology.
I know they do. They already do it. CRISPR-9 gene editing and everything else.
Yeah, they have it. Oh, by the way, this is an interesting article, and I'm putting a little exclamation caveat, whatever about it. Because it's not being – I couldn't find it on any other websites. And the one I found it on is a little bit iffy sometimes with the report on. But because Vin Diesel talked about adrenochrome, I thought I'd mention this. But this is one of those articles that I'm not going to put any credence in and just take it as a matter of
bubblegum
saying
article.
Something. No, it's not. This is not bubblegum.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
It's talking about Russia intercepts adrenochrome shipment from Israel containing the blood of 10,000 children. Now you think, well, is that even real?
I don't know. That's yeah.
But listen to this.
I don't know how it would have gotten published.
Here's what's interesting, because you know, if Jim Caviezel had not talked about this, I would not talk about this right now.
Yeah.
But I've covered it before because you guys already know what adrenochrome is. You've already done the research on it. The cargo was labeled as medical humanitarian, but the Russian operatives found inside was anything but humanitarian. Sealed cryo chambers, military grade cold storage units, and vials marked with serial codes. Putin's adrenochrome task force, if there's such a thing, briefed the Kremlin just hours. But no, I know it is. That's why I qualified it. I have no idea if this is true, and I probably shouldn't have even covered it. But here's the point that I do know. We got a lot of missing children, Austin.
That is a fact.
Okay? And we've got a lot of missing children out of Ukraine, a lot of missing children out of Gaza, a lot of missing children out of Mexico.
Yeah.
And what the heck are they doing with all these children? And I know that that one guy, I'm not going to mention his name, okay, he takes blood transfusions from children. Now, and that's not a lot
of these celebrities allegedly do.
They do, and so we know that's all true. So is this true? Are they trafficking children? The answer is yes to that. What's happening to all these kids, and where are they going? That's why I brought this article up. Are they harvesting them? Are they using them? Are they continuing to basically sacrifice them? And we know that human sacrifice is real. We know all that. We know what they did with Baal and Moloch and Asher and everything else. And we know what those perverts do over there in Hollywood. We got all of that stuff. We're talking about it. I mean, you have Katy Perry saying how she sold her soul to Lucifer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all these crazy stuff, things that go on over there, and then you have Angelina Jolie talking about that she was in one of these rituals. All of this stuff is very, very real, but we can't talk about it, Austin.
Yeah,
I mean, we can't ever talk about it because it's too far out there. Because nobody here's why it's so far out there. This is important. Listen to me. You know, you and I. You know, you guys, I love you guys. You know, you're our listeners, you know, and we do the best we can to bring you the highest quality supplements and to bring you the best news we possibly can all of the time. But we don't believe in our minds that certain things are possible with human beings, that we can't be this depraved, this sick, this weird. But I'm telling you guys, there are the people out there that are that sick, that depraved and that weird, and they're doing stuff because that stuff that they're doing with the adrenochrome, which we all know is real, it feeds the entities on the other side of the veil, and it allows them to transfer knowledge and power into this side of the veil when they're fed like that. It's a symbiotic relationship. It's a parasitical relationship, whatever you want to call it. The sad part about it is that it's real, and it has been since the beginning with Moloch and Baal and Asherah sacrificing children, and the Bible talks about it in depth, and it was one of the reasons that Israel fell. If you read the last couple of chapters of Deuteronomy, it says, and Moses is talking to God here, and he says, they will not listen, and when you die, they are going to go back to foreign gods and do all of these crazy things again and sacrifice their kids. This is a real problem. You think, well, we don't want to talk about it. When's the last time you heard about it from the pulpit, Austin?
Yeah.
No one talks about it from the pulpit. Churches don't even talk about it anymore. You know why? It's too dark. Nobody wants to believe that human beings have that level of depravity possible. That's they don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe it. But there are people that are like that, that will drug a young woman, basically groom them, and have them watch horrible movies to reprogram their brain.
This is real. Children, dude.
And children,
they just had that giant bust in Tampa off 275. I talked about it. I'm not going to get into detail. At that hotel that was right off the interstate. You could see it. I looked it up on Google Maps. I passed it probably 500 times in Tampa for off 275. They had like 76 kids that were there in Tampa, right down the street, in plain sight at a hotel right on the side of the interstate. Be very, very cautious when you have your children out in public, especially in high traffic areas.
Remember when Jim Caviezel did the Sound of Freedom?
Yes.
Remember? And they actually had like people posted on the internet of children they could actually abduct and get.
It was a menu.
It was a menu.
There's a human menu, dude.
And so you know
how sick they get.
No, this is some wood chipper. This is unbelievable. The people do stuff like this, but the problem is that nobody wants to talk about it because, again, it's too stinking dark. But when I saw this article on the Adrenochrome, I thought, I don't want to talk about that. Again, nobody wants to talk about this, but it's really a problem with these kids and all these kids that are being trafficked. Because how many of these kids disappear and they never are found?
Oh, yeah. They're open cases.
They're open cases. Millions of them. And so where did all these children go? Now, all of a sudden, they say they intercepted a whole group of people. You know, apparently, there's a dream of like 10,000 children who were sacrificed. You think, well, that means they got to have some kind of facility going on that's just like a giant human processing lab.
Dude, I mean, they just out of the hotel of 275. I just told you, 76 kids they rescued there. That was one singular isolated incident that they busted in Tampa. Think about that on an exponential scale across the entire United States.
And think about that pervert Joe Biden sniffing those little girls all the time. I mean, that's some sick crap, you know? And I mean, and it turned into this giant internet fodder because everybody's like, this guy can't be this perverted. And he's smelling little girls, sniffing little girls. And all of a sudden you see videos of him, and then his daughter comes out and says he was a weirdo. I mean, this is some sick stuff these people are involved in. That's why you and me and all of us have to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of our life. And we've got to dwell on the good things and the things of God and realize that we can train our children up the way they should go and live the life that we should live and not be subjected to this kind of filth.
Well, no, and also, too, you've got to be proactive in protecting your kids and teaching them how to be and how to be out in public. And teaching them defensive tactics and situational awareness. That's also has to happen too. Too many people now want to stick their head in the sand and pretend this doesn't happen. They do it all the time. I talk to people all the time. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. That's a negative. I don't want to talk about it either. It's horrific to talk about. But if you're not going to address it, you're not going to do anything about it, you're going to be very, very probably subjected to that at some point in your life if you don't have some awareness that's going on. So again, you've got to be proactive, especially as a father, especially as a parent. Switching gears, anyways. This is interesting.
They have a place in Lakeland. It's 3 mile walk. They call Lake Hollingsworth. Yeah. It's called Lake Hollingsworth. And I have taken your kids, my grandkids, over there multiple times and walked the 3 miles around Lake Hollingsworth. Yes. And my response to them is always this: you stay beside me, you stay to the left of me, you don't get near the road.
Yeah.
Period. You stay within 20 feet of me, and I'm fully armed when I walk around that lake. And I make sure that I take care of my grandchildren just like I took care of my children. It's very important as a parent or as a grandparent that you have the ability to protect your children and grandchildren at all times. And you pay attention to where they are.
And you teach them as well. I mean, I told you guys what happened over here in Central Florida when my sheriff's buddy told me about it. It was 2 or 3 years ago. There's a 16-year-old girl was at Target walking around doing her thing. On the phone the whole time, shopping. Sure enough, never came home. Parents couldn't find her. Filed a police report. Couldn't find her 3 or 4 days. They found her body over at a hotel, dead. Okay? They went back and ran to the police. They went back and looked at all the camera footage because there was a full investigation of this. She went into Target. A guy ghosted her the entire time she was in Target. While she was shopping, he was walking around Target following her from a distance. She went outside. He was on the phone. She pulled up to her car in the back of the parking lot. Box van pulled up behind her. This was on video footage. She told me this firsthand. Pulled up behind her in a box van, grabbed her by basically shirt, yanked her in the box van, slammed the door. Nobody even saw it happen. It was so quick. Car was still in the parking lot. Found her 4 days later. That's how quick it happens without situational awareness. Personally, talking about
you've got to have situational awareness. You've got to be aware of what's going on.
Because
if you're not aware of what's going on, first of all, and I'm going to say something for a second. I'm going to go back to Lake Hollingsworth again. And this is something that really bugs me. It just bugs me, man. When these women run around with these headphones on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
I've never
They got
that.
Headphones on or they got earbuds in, and they're listening to music that's super loud. They can't hear anything around them. They can't hear if somebody walks up behind them. They can't hear anything.
Nope.
And,
if you want to do cardio, if you want to train with headphones, do it in an isolated, secure facility in your house or in a closed gym.
On a treadmill.
On a treadmill, exactly. Do not be – I've seen that so many – there was the other day. This kid almost walked in front of the truck when I was leaving the office, had headphones in, on his phone with headphones on, walking across the street.
No situation.
Never even looked. Just walking across the street. I'm pulling the truck, and I'm like, okay, I stop. Honk my horn. Looks up. Ooh.
Do you remember that day?
I'm like, kid, wake up, dude.
Remember that day I turned on a road? I was in the Silverado.
Kid with a bicycle.
Kid with a bicycle. And I'm driving like 15 miles an hour in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And there's two gates from two different subdivisions on both sides of the road. Came flying out in front of me. I locked the brakes up on the Silverado, but I was going slow enough I was able
stop
to stop.
Real quick.
And I called out, and I called him out, and I chewed him out. And I said, what is wrong with you, kid? It was 8, 9 years old.
Yeah.
It wasn't paying
open
any,
your eyes.
I said, open your eyes and pay attention. I almost hit you. Be very careful with situational awareness. Kids don't think. That's why they're so easily programmed when they're in a theta brainwave state.
You have to force them to think in many cases. You have to, one of the things I always try to do with Hunter and I do with Kendall all the time, when I'm doing something, I explain to them why I'm doing it.
I taught you guys that.
He taught me this. And then after I explain them why I'm doing it, I'll ask them questions about it. So why do you think I would do this? Like the other day, we were at a red light. And basically, I was in a turn lane, and I said, Hunter, do you know why I got over this lane? And I explained to him why I did it. He goes, oh, that's interesting. I find that very interesting. Well, the other day, I'm sitting there giving him instructions as far as on his AR-22 rifle that he trains with all the time, and I told him basically an easier way to do mag changes and a more fast way to do it, and keep his finger off the trigger, keep safety on. Sure enough, I was in the kitchen. You're doing dry drills. Dude starts doing it. He goes, Dad, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you for telling me that. Explain it to the kids. Ask them a follow-up question, and it will lock in much, much faster. Don't just do things all the time and expect them just to see it and go, oh, that's why they're doing it. I understand that's the exact
reason. They don't pay attention.
They don't pay attention. But when you ask them about it, when you show them, when you explain it to them, it makes them actually think about it. And in most cases, they will follow up on it later on.
Well, yeah, you teach them that. You teach them how to set goals. You teach them how to stay tenacious. You teach them how to stay motivated. You know, my one daughter now, she's basically selling life insurance. And she goes, well, it's a 90% failure rate.
Yeah.
And I said, well, yeah, because they got her on the phone now doing cold calls.
Oof.
She told me yesterday, she said, I got cussed out. This guy, I can't believe what he said to me. And I'm like, it's just part of it. I said, you're calling people on the telephone. They don't want you to call them on the telephone.
I worked in a boiler room when I was in college doing calls.
It's horrible.
Oh.
No, it's no.
Where's you out?
Well, no, because and so she says, well, 90% of people fail. I said, and I looked at her. I said, very simply, I said, you got to understand something. 95% of the people in the United States of America, when they're at the age of 65, are financially dependent on an outside income source. I said, and it's not just the insurance stuff. People go with the flow all the time. And I said, even a dead fish can float downstream. I said, if you're going to be successful in what you do, you got to work at it and work at it and work at it. Exactly. It doesn't matter what your profession is, whether you're a plumber or you're an electrician or you're a doctor or you're an attorney. You got to continue to do what you need to do and keep pushing and pushing and pushing and not allowing the world to influence you in such a negative way that you give up on your goals and your dreams and your aspirations.
That's true. That's a very well point.
And
the world will beat you down if you let it.
And that's why I did that series. We still have a few of them at the house, at the office, at Maximum Success on how to live disease-free, debt-free, and worry-free. And I'm not trying to sell that set, but I've only got a few of them left anyhow. But the reality is I go into detail on what kids can do and what adults can do in order to change their lives by basically start focusing on the things that they need to focus on, because the world teaches you to focus on everything but what's necessary.
That's exactly right.
I've got 14 dogs I'm taking care of. Great. And I love dogs.
I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not I love dogs. I have a dog. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people that they're dealing with finances, they're having all these issues, and they have like two or three dogs. I'm like, you know what, it might be time, you know, you spend $200 a week in food, you handle all this, you got all this stuff going on. Oh, I'll never get rid of my dogs. I'm like, don't get rid of your dogs. Maybe get rid of two of your dogs.
I had a great lady who's a great friend of mine. She sends me a text the other day. I've got a friend that can't pay for the vet bills. We're taking up a collection to pay for this dog. And don't get me wrong, I got that. You know, people to look at dogs like humans. They love their animals. I told her, I said, please don't come to me with this type of request.
Yeah.
And I said, I you know, you're a great friend, and I appreciate you, but, you know, perhaps they don't need to have the dog. I said, perhaps they need to be focused on other things in their life. But I've had them say, I would live under a bridge homeless. I would spend all of my money on my dog, keeping it alive, before I would let it die. And I will be homeless and basically starving to death so this dog can live. And they basically kept this dog for $75,000, by the way, in bills because somebody else was paying it.
That's obscene, bro.
No, I saw it happen.
You got to do a cost-benefit analysis.
You know,
the problem is when you get a dog, you already know majority of the time you're going to outlive that dog.
That's right.
You got to accept the fact. It's just short-term. And, you know, so, again, it could be family. It could do that. I mean, like I said, I've had dogs I've had to put down because they got hit by a truck. I mean, that was horrible. But at the end of the day, you got to do a cost-benefit analysis. You got to look at the quality of life for them. I've seen people where they try to keep these animals alive. They're in the vet every single week. They're unbelievably sick. They're lethargic.
They're blind.
They're having all these art. They can't even walk. They're all stoved up. And I'm like, what kind of quality? Are you keeping them alive because you want to keep them alive, or you keep them alive because you don't want to deal with the pain? You're just putting off inevitably.
Yes. But I got that text then. Can you please give money for this? And I said, no. I said, I'd rather support a child as far as giving a child money. You know, giving a child. Yesterday, I went over to a restaurant in Tampa, and there was a big guy sitting there, a big black guy, super overweight. And I thought it was another guy, that big black guy that was super overweight. His name was, you know, Elijah. I haven't seen him for years over there. I used to always, you know, give him money and buy him food. And so I'm sitting here and I'm talking to the guy, and I said to him, I said, you're not Elijah. He says, no. He says, my name's Marcus. And he's on the bench, and he's like homeless, sitting on the bench. And I said, Marcus, would you like something to eat? And I'm sitting right in front of the restaurant. And he goes, well, yeah, I would actually. I said, all right, what would you like? I'd like a Greek salad.
All right.
So I walked inside, and I ordered some spanakopita, and I said, "And bring me a Greek salad." And I said, I need it to go. I'm feeding Marcus. And they said, oh, okay. So they brought me the Greek salad. I was still waiting on my spanakopita. I walked outside. I gave him his salad, and he sat there, and he ate his salad. And when I left there 30, 40 minutes later, I said, Marcus, it was nice meeting you. And when you're here the next time, I'll get you something else to eat. You think, did you really do that? Ask Austin.
Yeah.
He knows that I'm always like that. I'm always helping people. And here's how I look at it. How do you know he's not an angel? I don't know that. You don't know that. How do you know he hasn't had a horrible life and he wasn't treated right by Christians? You don't know that. I don't know that. So why in the world can't we walk in love? The Bible says to us, they will know that you're disciples because you love one another. Why can't we? Now, if you're a lady, be careful with that kind of stuff, feeding people that you don't know on the side of the street because they may try to abduct you. All right?
But I don't
really come across as, you know, a victim. You know,
I don't think anybody's going to abduct you.
No, I don't think so. Okay, I'm still a pretty big guy. And of course, I'm heavily armed. And so the crazy part about all of this stuff is that, you know, think about what you're doing with other people and how you affect them and if you're willing to help them or not. And so now I'm feeding, you know, Marcus. And I thought to myself, okay, that's fine. I'll replace him. I'll replace Elijah with him.
You're talking about, you know, as far as helping people doing all that. I mean, that's why when Dr. Mark Rutland came to us, as far as with the Thai girls over there, he was actively working and getting these girls and preventing them before they got brought into sex trafficking.
I'm going to tell you guys a story. I've never told a story.
The whole story about it?
The whole story. We're at a convention in Atlanta with him, and he brought Thai girls in from Thailand. And he said, I said to him, well, how many empty beds do you have?
Yeah.
It's like $100 per child. Okay. Or I think it was $75 per child per month. And he says, well, we have, you know, 17 empty beds.
Yeah.
We can't find sponsors for them.
Yeah.
Now, normally I don't talk about this stuff. You guys know I've never done this before on the show. And I said to him, I said, okay, I'll take all 17.
Yeah.
You remember this? And he looked at me, he goes, what? And I said, how much are they? And it was like $17,000. Okay. And I went to the back of the room, and I handed him my Visa card, and I said, charge the $17,000. You look at me.
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that? Mm-hmm. Now, you guys think I'm joking, and I'm not. Now, I hadn't even come to you guys to try to help us. But I felt so bad that these girls were basically being not taken care of because there wasn't any money. And then they called me back about 3 months later, and they said, well, we have three more that aren't sponsored yet.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'll take all 20.
Well, and Mark,
I did this for years.
Well, Mark Rutland explained, and I didn't even realize, he said, especially over in Thailand, because what happens is the parents a lot of times
sell these girls
in sex trafficking so they can pay their own bills. And he said, once they get into that world, it's almost impossible to get them back out of it. So what they were doing was they were going to families that really had a lot of financial problems. They're saying, hey, listen, we can take your daughters and put them in a really, really high-end Christian orphanage. We could take care of them all the way into high school and get them through this part of their life so they don't have to get sold into this, and he can stop it. He was very, very passionate about stopping
that. Well, he said he was at a hotel one night, and he said somebody knocked on the door at 10 o'clock at night.
No invitation. Knocked on the door.
Had a 10-year-old, 12-year-old girl with him, certified virgin, you can have her tonight.
Yeah.
And he said, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he started raising Cain, called security on him. And the security guy said, he does this every night. This is normal in Thailand.
Yeah.
And then Mark said, somebody needs to do something about this. Holy Spirit says, why don't you do something about this? And Mark opened up the orphanage over there. The thing about it is that, you know, when you feel as though you need to be led to do something, do it. You think, well, how are you going to pay the $17,000? I wasn't concerned about that. I put it on the credit card. I just didn't want these girls being, you know, put into slavery and sex trafficking out of, you know, Thailand. But the reality is this. How many times do you have the opportunity to help somebody and you don't? I'm asking you that as a friend. How many times do you have the opportunity? I'm not talking about giving out $17,000. I'm talking about $5, $2, $1, anything you could do to try to help somebody. It's just something that we all need to do, Austin.
We have a really, really good customer. She's a great customer, great listener. She comes to the office all the time, and she's always buying like 12 of stuff. And she's got this real big family. And I asked her, I said, I know you're not going through this much vitamin C powder. You know, 12 vitamin C powder. She goes, yeah, I mean, my family's taking all. They have the excuse that they can't afford it sometimes, so I make sure there's no excuse. And I give it to them, and I follow up with them, and I make sure they take it.
She's a great lady.
Great lady. And I laugh, and I thought, she's proactive on that. She wants her family. She's got a real big family, wants them to stay healthy. So she's like, I'll rather buy it, and I'll make them take it.
Well,
and she does.
Well, yeah, and I'm not saying don't support your church, because if you got a church that's local, that's basically got open books, and they need to have the utility bill paid and the preacher paid, I'm good with that. But when you got a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it church, and they don't have the books open, and everybody's driving Rolls Royces and Bentleys and flying and owning private jets, maybe, just maybe, you'd be better off giving your money to somebody who really needs
when
it.
When the whole staff has matching Rolls Royce Phantoms.
Yeah.
Got to kind of ask how much money is really being allocated, what needs to be done.
You know, and don't get me wrong. I don't have a bit of problems, you know, having, you know, a nice car or whatever.
No.
But the point is, you know, when you're giving money to people that basically are supposed to be giving it back to other people.
That's exactly right.
As a conduit. And not that they put it in their can, they sit on their can, they buy all kinds of stuff for their family members with nepotism. There's a point where you got to say, you know what? I'm just not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to be doing this. Or if you do it, I'm not saying don't give to them. Just allocate where you want the money to go to another nonprofit. And sometimes they'll let you do that. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes they'll say, no, you don't tell us what we do with the money. I've had that happen too. By the way, just to change topics, terrible segue, housing market cracks wide open.
Oh, yeah.
Top siding company has suffered the worst stock collapse in 50 years.
Ooh.
James Hardie Industries, the world's largest producer of fiber cement products like Hardie Board, headquartered in Ireland and dual listed in Sydney and New York, issued a grim housing outlook that has sent its Sydney shares plunging most in 50 years. The warning underscores deepening cracks emerging in the U.S. housing market under the continued weight of elevated interest rates. That is not what this is about. It is part of it. It's not of it. President Trump issued a new warning overnight about those rates hurting the housing industry. Here's the big reason why Hardie Siding and all these other companies aren't generating the revenue they do. They stopped bringing in millions of immigrants, giving away millions of houses a year.
That's exactly right. raising the housing market unnaturally in a gross spike that wasn't even remotely normal in COVID.
No. No, and you bring in 20 million people that have to have houses, you're going to be building a bunch of homes.
Well, no, I watched houses here in Central Florida that were selling for $140,000, $150,000, decent houses, all of a sudden, a few years later, in the midst of COVID, being listed for $400,000 or $500,000. I mean, 200-300% increase.
And these contractors got super
greedy. Oh, they're super greedy. The current houses right now with like Miranda and these other cracker box homes that they're building, I talked to these guys that have built them. They're still around $90,000 to $110,000 cost, raw cost of these houses, and they still have them listed for $350,000 and $390,000. That's how big of a margin they have on these houses, and they won't drop their prices because they want to keep those $200,000-$300,000 nets on every house.
Well, and
the problem is they're not selling anymore.
The problem is now that people who bought those houses can't move or liquidate
exactly
the inventory,
right.
And now because of that
revolving market of selling and flipping and going to another house, they can't do it.
I remember when houses, you know, back in 2008 dropped down to $25 a square foot. They're used homes.
House right down the street from us was $90,000 that sold for us, 4,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm. $25 a square foot.
Yeah, crazy. So you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us.
I got all geeked up on purple fish
I can
today.
Tell. I didn't take one.
I did.
I got to get a new shaker. I took my shaker.
I took your shaker. But it's behind me now. I'm guilty. But I'll wash it in a minute and give it back to you. But I took that chocolate protein and that purple stick this morning.
No, they hit. I know I needed one.
And it hit me about halfway through the show, so now I got all geeked
if
up.
If you really want to stack, you throw the purple stick with a Fit Food and Attention Factor. I did not get that today.
hey, we love
he
you guys.
Did.
Thank you. I needed attention factor.
No attention factor.
I can't sleep at night with that stuff unless I take it early, early in the morning. Hey, I love you guys. Thank you for your support. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be here.
Period.
No, we wouldn't.
And so we would be here telling you these crazy stories and trying to tell you what you need to do and not to do and what should do and not how to do. And we wouldn't be here talking to you about God or Jesus.
Thank you, guys. And send me emails on stuff you want me to cover. Sometimes I get emails from people and I'll get multiple requests on the same topic. It makes it really easy to get that information out because I know there's a demand for that topic and we can cover it on the show.
Well, some people ask me to cover cancer cures. Not going there. Because, quite frankly, if you start talking about curing cancer, they come after you like with full...
You guys have a fantastic evening. Hope you guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow, as always.
I love you guys.